one of the commitments I made at the last board meeting was to send thank you notes to an awful lot of people who helped make our effort to put our plan together, and also to thank the commissioners for all the things they did to help us get the $2.5 million. So to see what I sent, there's from back here, one was to the supporters of the grant who gave some assistance to Michael or to Ron or whatever. The other was to our commissioners who gave some assistance. So here's what I sent to them, front and back. One's for one, one's for the other.
That's a great, great thing.
You have very neat handwriting, by the way.
It was readable.
Yes, it was.
And Peggy said there was a single misspelled word. That was impressive.
And I did read them all.
I just wondered how she was going to do the error correction on a handwritten note.
Call the whiteout.
Well, yeah, I remember whiteout.
You want one?
Yep. Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to go to the
third one. I got a little too worried.
My brain's gone.
That's great. That's great. Good day.
We are recording, by the way.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you for doing this. It's the right, you know, it's the right thing to do.
Well, we're going to leave these people again somewhere up or down the road. So. Yep. All right, at this point in time, I will call on Ron to sort of begin to set the stage of what we need to do next.
Okay, I hope you all got a lot out of this morning's session. We tried to make sure that we covered a lot of the issues that we know are out there, give some background to this whole process that we're going through and trying to determine our future direction. What I put in front of you is what we hope to come up with. I know in the previous strategic plan we managed to go front and back one page. We can still do that. This is more, and I don't expect you all to fill this out. This is what we're going to come up with when we're done, okay? And we will provide that to you. We will be able to summarize this in a one-pager if that's what we choose to do. But so the basic idea here is that at the end of the day, we end up with three or four of these sheets, one for each goal that we have. So we're going to start with goals, okay? And so that's what goes up, we're going to be putting up here. For each goal, we want to identify a couple of strategic issues associated with that goal. And the way to think about that is start with the phrase, how do we, okay, for that issue. How do we overcome something that's stopping us from accomplishing that goal? And we'll do two of those. And then for each of those issues, what are the big strategies that we can employ to overcome this? You've all done strategic planning. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with all of this, but I'm just trying to, you know, put a framework around where we're trying to get to. And then if we have time, we will, or as we go, we may find some things that we're calling strategies that are more specific action plans. So, for example, I think it's pretty clear we need to work on the PED and the covenants of restriction. To me, those are very specific action items, not necessarily a strategy. But the strategy might be fix the planning of the park. Okay, and that planning might be the PUD, it might be the CNR, it might be doing a master plan. So a lot of action items we can put under that. And then also, if we have time, we can do the budget and set some times. But I think it's more likely we'll probably get through strategies and maybe a few action items. And staff will probably have to go back and try to flush out some of the timing and budgetary requirements and bring those back to the board and say, what do you think? And is the air conditioning heat
going to hurt down?
Yes. I don't know if the rest of you, but I think it's getting a little warm again. Okay. Because I don't want y'all to fall asleep in this process. And
you can sit on the deck. That'll make us
happy. Have your lines on the
cross. Crack that window.
March around.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need some chairs out there.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Get some lounge chairs.
Well, we're going to have to fix the deck first because you'll probably fall through it.
Okay. Because
they didn't think to put gutters on the back of this building, so yeah. All the water runs right onto the deck. So that's the basic concept. So... The Peggy is going to play Vanna here, and where we'd like to start is with the goals. So, you know, one way we frame this is where do we want to be in 3 years? So, y'all familiar with the concept of SMART goals? That's what we want to come up with. And I think if you think back to the strategic plan, the current strategic plan, we have a few unfinished items on there. A couple of those might be big goals to think about. And we can pull that screen back up if we need to, but and I just gave an example of one because I think if you didn't catch the gist of this morning's theme, it wasn't about incubators and the things we've been talking about for the past 3 years. It was really focused on how do we attract companies to the park, and that was intentional. We've been kind of waiting for some of these things to develop with OEV in particular. And now that's, as you saw this morning, is coming about, obviously business attraction is a big component of what we need to do. We haven't, the incubator is obviously going to be a huge project for us one way or the other. If we, depending on whether or not we get the grant, is going to determine what the next steps are. So I think we have to be prepared for either possibility. So those, to me, those are two big things. But certainly, let's just go and throw some stuff out on the paper. Then you'll write them down, and we can come back then and sort through them, and decide what are the three or four things that we really want to focus on.
For the purpose of this session, should we make the assumption we get the grant approved and go from there? And if we don't, we need a different session to say, okay, what if, or are you trying to do both now?
I think you can go ahead and at least get a start on both. We don't have to drill into the weeds of what happens if we don't, but I think we at least need to address the possibility. So if that's a fifth, if that's a fifth one, a fifth goal, fourth or fifth goal, we can do it that way.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I may have missed something on the goal, but a goal could, of what you just said about structuring just the incubator itself as a goal. That's what where you...
Yeah, the way I look at it is, this fourth bullet on here, if we accomplish these three or four things in the next 3 years, mm-hmm. we will be incredibly happy. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are those four things that we would be incredibly happy with? And then we can go to how do we accomplish those things.
And that's what I was going to...
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. So instead of making it a separate goal, just to focus on this piece, using the language that Denise just shared and the article that you all provide, if we want the coaching type of programs, if that's where we are right now, it seems like that... offering those types of programs, whether it's through the incubator or something else, could be under one type of goal. Because if we don't get the incubator, it's not like we're not going to provide those type of programs. Am I thinking about that correctly?
Let's do this. Let's brainstorm. Okay. Let's write some stuff down. Instead of trying to evaluate each one, let's just write it down and see where we end up. Because I think what you'll see is a pattern. A pattern will develop. And you'll figure out how to group some of this stuff together, and decide how do you really structure that. So, let's not beat it up too much to start with. Let's just brainstorm and put some stuff out.
So, would a goal be within 18 months of having an incubator open that we have full capacity of persons utilizing that facility? Is that a goal?
It is a goal. The question is that an achievable goal? But let's go ahead and put it down. Let's put it down. We'll come back to it.
And I think a goal might be to create a stronger mix of desired, more desirable or more targeted tenants in Innovation Park. Because if we have that, we get greater collaboration, we get greater commonality of interest, it's easier to market the park. We have a niche, a stronger niche. So.
She's right.
Depending on what happens with the EDA grant, Well, this isn't the right way of saying it, but what to do about the Collins bill?
Okay.
Well, mine would be have a master plan for our real estate assets.
Love that.
How do you solve the Collins bill?
What about what we heard from OED in terms of what they're doing?
Hope they do what they say they're going to do. Is that a goal?
Well, we play a role in that.
Right, being a stronger partner.
I knew you would just want to brainstorm with this, but this is where I was trying to go with if we're doing high-level goals or just anything, we can group them. And I like where you're going with that. I said that because, to me, recruiting companies to the park, when you're talking about OEV, it's work in partnership with OEV on recruitment efforts. And then...
Yes.
Yeah. And we could say OEV specifically, but then increase other partnerships like the airport and other things as well.
Yes.
Is that where you're going with OEV, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's obviously one of the things we heard this morning.
Yeah.
What about, in terms of a SMART goal, what about, what's the end result supposed to be? A measurable result. Just like Dave said, Dave had a good measurable, which was that we're 100% occupied and in 18 months, okay? That's very measurable. What about with the recruitment side? What would be a measurable goal?
Attract three companies to expand, relocate, do innovation.
Oh, I guess I did.
September 21.
I think I might have hinted at that.
That would be good.
I forgot I had that on there. So, because a lot of what we've talked about this morning, it's the how do we. But the end result that we're all looking for is... We want to actually know that we accomplished it by, I don't know if three is the right number. And
that might be a record pace for us.
I think we take one. we might take one good one. But and again, it doesn't say what size they are. It doesn't say what industry they're in.
Yeah. But I think we should be focused on the quality of, you know, who are these companies? Because we don't want to be... Yeah. Forever just a leasing organization. We want to be a job, you know, we want to collide with each other. We want to get good, we want people to be good partners for Danfoss. We want good partners with Heimag Lab.
So you said three quality, so
yeah,
that's...
you know, however we define that, but targeted companies.
I like the idea of three. I could also see it going to what you said earlier about the stronger mix of target tenants. I could put that in the phrase of increase private sector percentages at the park by a certain percent, or get it to 50-50 or something like that. And that is recruiting a business or having them lease a space, an existing business lease a space in Morgan or something like that. Probably both of those goals, they could work in tandem. I mean, they're two different things, but the stronger mix of public sector, I mean, private sector.
Yeah, April, when you were talking earlier about the same thing, say for instance you have tenants at 100% occupancy here, but there's no innovation companies yet, right? You just have a bunch of federal agencies and things like that.
Right.
To your point, you're a lease landlord, and that's all you're trying to do is make money on rents, or do you target 70% innovation companies or 30%? Because I know you have to have a baseline, right? You have to have that breadwinner, right? Someone stable that's going to bring in income and things like that, because the startups and innovation companies, they may come and go, but you got to have that steady income, right? Right. So I don't know if we develop some type of goal that makes sense.
What's our benchmark now? Yeah. You know, where are we at right now in terms of the type of tenant, the ideal tenants, how many people?
So the goal might be to attract three targeted companies to expand or relocate an innovation park, and one of the strategies might be to determine what that target ought to look like. Would that make sense? It's hard to put it in the goal if you yeah. if you haven't really determined what it is yet. Yeah.
What you don't want to do is run out of space, and then you realize that the reason you run out of space is because you're not meeting your core goal, right?
Yeah.
Is to have innovation companies here.
Right.
And you say, well, we need more space. Are you going to, if you get more space by the airport, are you going to put the same kind of companies in it? You're not really doing innovation. That's the concern, right?
Yeah. I'm going to flip that a little bit. I mean, use that same example.
Yeah.
We have limited property.
Yeah.
And so we may be attracted to some, but we may accomplish a goal by partnering with a business that happens to be located by the airport, because once we have an understanding of our property, that's the better place for them. But if they're working with researchers out here, if they're working with some of the centers of excellence or something like that, is that another goal? That we help the ecosystem and recruit businesses that will be tied into the research components here? Mm-hmm. But not necessarily tied to building in the park. And both are good, but that helps us expand our private sector involvement as well.
So expand the overall, as we think about Innovation Park, expand our thinking beyond the boundary of the actual park.
I think there's several goals, but they both add value.
Yeah.
Or they can even partake in some of the services.
Right.
In terms of land, the solar sausage property, is that good for anything?
Yeah, they're out here.
Oh, I know they're out here.
Yeah.
But in terms of the next use of it?
As far as I know, yeah. Again, that's one of the questions
we have
to answer.
Let's get ready.
We have to find
how many
out.
Acres is that?
I think it's 10. Mm-hmm.
That's what's 7 or 10 was coming to my mind.
I think there's a 7-acre parcel and a 3-acre parcel, so...
I think
you know, going back to what you kind of brought up, I think, and also what you brought up, I think eventually it would be really nice that you are looking at, you're almost at 100% capacity, but at that point it's like you're developing a criteria of who is coming into the park. I mean, that's ideally where you want to get to.
Right.
It's like, well, what are the check marks that kind of get you to meeting the term of innovation? We're going to now start to become selective.
Yeah.
And that's not just for us to decide. We've got to be prepared to communicate that to OEB.
Yeah.
So that when they're doing recruitment, they don't send a call center our way.
Yeah.
Yeah, no call centers. Can we make that a goal?
Yeah. So
I want to know what this group thinks that a collaborative effort with the airport would look like. Obviously, they own the land. They may not want us involved at all. But what would we contribute to it to make it a working partnership? I think the mayor would be willing to support that effort, but what would it look like? Ray, you might know better than any of us what it could look like.
I'm not sure I know what it looks like, but you asked the question, I believe you asked the question earlier privately. Do I think the airport would be receptive to a partnership with the park? And I completely think that they would be. I think the mayor, who was sitting here earlier this morning, reiterated that, his commitment to try to make that happen if necessary or if needed. So I don't know what it would look like necessarily. I have mentioned a little earlier that I thought that there were some opportunities there to take advantage of our expertise and maybe look at another type of incubation center or another type of center that might focus around light manufacturing. I'm just concerned that the park doesn't have the space to get away from its R&D mission.
So would that potentially look like they have the space, they'd probably put a building in it, something like that, LCRDA, in order to generate a little bit of revenue stream, take on management of that?
I would think that we would by then have a track record.
So that again?
We can clone Michael.
Take on management.
Well, you'd say Airport Authority didn't have the ability to take on the management there.
I think we'd have the expertise that would exceed.
They'd own the land, and we might manage it for them or for the benefit of somebody.
For a center, you said a center or an incubator or.
So would a goal then be that we reach out and achieve a workable agreement with the airport authority or whatever to allow us to jointly create a industrial park or a commerce park or a research park or some entity, and that that goal be, or that agreement be executed within 12 months?
I think to execute an agreement like that, you're going to have to know what your resources are.
Absolutely.
That goes to that strategic site survey.
Yep.
That goes to the geotech assessment. That goes to a master plan. So I kind of
would put a lot of pieces to make that agreement come together.
I would kind of think we've got to have that foundation.
Yeah, I was going to say,
before we go after
it. It sounds like this all be incorporated in the master plan. As the master plan includes bringing in and bridging the gap between Innovation Park and the airport, that would be a component of the master plan, as opposed to a separate goal.
Well, I'm so sorry. Keith, I think I was going in the same direction you were, that there's kind of two parallel, I mean, everything's going to be parallel, but our master planning for the property we already control is one big deep dive, and it's going to answer some questions about what we have the capacity for and help us get that more refined. I believe strongly that we're going to have companies, others, that don't fit out here, whether we want it to or not. So that master planning would distill that, but if we had a more general goal, then come up with an agreement, because I agree with Ray that we're going to need more information before city, blueprint, and Innovation Park all flesh out that agreement. Maybe a goal could be establish a formal partnership with the airport, considering these factors, you know, or something. I mean, I'm not repeating what we've already said on that end, but that could look very, and assess where we are in a year after we have more information. Something more formal like that. I'm trying to get to your specific goal language. But I guess the management piece on this, I don't want to repeat what I said earlier, but just to get it into this part of the conversation, you've been nervous for years every time Dave says we want more property. And Dave has said it for years, and I've been kind of sitting in the middle, and we've all been circling around in different places in this conversation. I truly believe there's a conversation to be had about the airport property, and that OEV Blueprint is not going to have the money to manage that in a way that will get it shovel ready. So that may be a goal to explore the opportunities there, but we don't want to say we want it now without more information.
Well, I think the agreement would simply be is that we collaborate as a partner to work into a business plan. And we don't know what the business plan is. We don't know who's going to contribute what pieces. But the agreement would commit both parties to say we want to make this happen. We are, both boards are committing to it, and then we sign a document saying that collectively there will be a business plan developed, specific goals within a business plan. We don't have specific goals now, other than just to say that we would establish a partnership. That's got to be the first step. They've got to agree, our board's got to agree.
I guess that's what I'm saying versus come up with an agreement in 12 months, because we want to be sensitive to a mayor who's been on the job for 3 weeks and a lot of changes that are happening right now. So if we get ahead of them, then we don't look as collaborative. That was my fear when you said it before. Yeah.
Well, I think it would have to be done through the mayor's office as a sponsor of it.
All right, why don't we put something up there? And we'll come back and look at it. So I think we all agree that it's about figuring out how can we collaborate with the airport, and how can we get a formal buy-in from all the parties to move forward. And this may not be a goal as much as it is a strategy. Again, we're talking four, we're going to go through this list, and we're going to come up with what are the big four things that we have to accomplish that's a SMART goal, that including in that is what's achievable given our resources, you know, our financial resources, our staff, and the other things that we're choosing to do. So for example, let's assume we get the grant funding on the incubator. Okay, what's required to get that thing going? Okay, that's a massive undertaking.
Yeah, and other things will go by the way.
Right, it's a 2-year it's a 2-year project just to get it open. Okay.
Am I allowed to talk?
No. No, go ahead.
Just as sort of the outside guy, because I have my own thing, I'm trying to do incubator. It seems to me that if you were to pick three, you're trying to encapsulate that. I wouldn't talk about anything that you heard about today because you just heard about it today. Airport collaboration and all that stuff. I've got three and I'll just throw it out there. Incubator, one way or another. So that answers the question. The goal is an incubator. And then the strategy is, okay, if we get the grant, we don't get the grant, whatever, right? The second one I thought I heard, and I'm, again, forgive me if I'm speaking out of turn, but have ready site is the next one. So, or a spec building. So you get the permitting done, you get the ground penetrating radar done, you get whatever. So when an opportunity comes, whether it's the kind of company you want or you don't have the kind of company you want, if you don't have the pad ready, it doesn't matter, right? So that would be number two. And number three is increasing the research dollars into the park or the tech transfer and commercialization out into small companies. So what I mean by that is through SBIRs that I'm doing or through tech transfer at FSU or FAMU or creating businesses with Keith and some of the companies that may be more appropriate here. It seems to me that that's the three that I hear just sort of as the sitting in the periphery. Those would be the goals. And then the strategy is, okay, how do we do all that? But that's just me. I'm sure. Because the other ones are in the weeds, right? How do you do
well, and again, I think I don't think we can ignore what was said this morning. Because what was said this morning was really a culmination of things we've been talking about for years. So, you know, a lot of this has just been waiting for other resources to come to play. So, for example, even before OEV existed, we were going down the road trying to figure out how EDC was going to help us accomplish the same thing. So, yes, I agree with some of that. I think some of that, like pad-ready sites, I think that's part of the business attraction piece. On how do we attract companies. You can't attract companies unless you have pad-ready sites or we expedite the process as we talked about. So to me, I see that as one of the strategies to being able to attract companies is that you have the sites ready, you have the master planning done, you understand the permitting process, you get through all of the studies that you've got to do. So you do all of those things. And this is where we get into some of the semantics of goal versus strategy. And so that's why I was trying to just kind of, without worrying too much about what's a goal and what's a strategy, I want to just sort of get a laundry list of things down there. And let's see, unless you have some more stuff you want to talk about, let's see how they kind of fit together and that what really is a strategy, what can we say, okay, if we employ this, what kind of goals would really go with that? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Question.
Ladies, I don't mind. Go ahead.
One of the themes I've heard over the years is we constantly talk about how we're trying to attract folks, because you kind of brought it up. And, you know, you really think about, I would really like to see the park become a destination. We always talk about place. And we've had conversations about, and obviously there was an effort to expose the commissioners, whether that be county commissioners, whether that be city commissioners, folks to what we have out here at the park. So one of the overriding things I continue to kind of come back to is what people don't know, they don't know. We don't tell our story. So if we're going to attract companies, we have to have that plan. What does that really look like, both internally and then externally? What does that look like? So one of the things I always think about is, how do we tell our story? How do we get people to be attracted to the park? So my whole thing is, I'd like to see it as a place.
A good example of that is when Ron and I sat down with each and every city and county commissioner and said, here's what we want your support for. Mm-hmm. Meeting was 2-3 days later, we had 100% support of it. And so what you say is right on. I don't know how we impress them globally, but periodically, I think we've got to be in their face, so to speak. In their space, maybe that's a better word to say.
I could not agree more, and it's one of the things that I was going to mention, was that the ideas we were bouncing, I mean, it's great, it's land use, it's recruitment, it's all of that, it's everything we heard this morning, but the how we do that also includes the marketing, telling our story. There was a section in our past strategic plans on governance and other things. We don't need to get into that right now, right?
Correct.
Ron, we're focused on, okay, good, because that's been a huge piece the last few strategic plans, and I think it's a big indication of how far we come that we don't need to focus on that, right?
Most of that is not really strategic any longer.
It was before.
It's not that we can stop doing it, but it's not strategic.
Right, but it was more strategic.
Yes.
To correct
problems.
We
achieved it.
Exactly.
We had a lot of green check marks on
it. Yeah. We did. So with that, the telling the story, the marketing, the recruitment, all that, the only other thing that... I think this may be in the telling the story, but maybe the destination is a better way to have the marketing piece, internal, external, and more opportunities for people to gather, to utilize the park, to bring other groups out here. Tech Topics is good, and I'll come back to this later on the night, well, I'll say it now, the night building, when Ed was talking about different options here, I could see a co-working space or a place where, you know, a group, interdisciplinary group could have a Tuesday night meeting or something like that, you know.
It could turn into an event type of space where they either rent it out for a cost or do something like that. It's not used all the time, but yeah.
That's it. Exactly. How do we bring more people out here too? So I like the destination piece on that.
One of the issues that we're ultimately confronted with is, you know, Etsy can do a lot of these things, and that gets to kind of the revenue side of things.
Who does?
If you're going to come.
Oh, yes. Okay.
It gets to revenue. So are there some things that can be done fairly easily to enhance the revenue? And one thing I'm thinking, based on what was talked about today, this co-working space idea, with the Collins building, for relatively little money, be possible to make some areas there where that would be a possibility, and it could be at least a little bit of a revenue generator.
Well, just coincidentally, I got an estimate. Not coincidentally. so we got an estimate to renovate the west end of the building. If you recall, basically from including the lab, although not any significant renovations to the lab, but that space from the lab all the way to the west end, for around $60,000, and that's where we had talked about relocating our offices over there, mm-hmm. so that we could do something with this building. So we probably needed maybe another $15,000 on top of that for equipment, but there would be space in there. If you recall, there's a really big, large outer lobby area. Mm-hmm. That could be turned into co-working space. Not huge. But we looked at how that could generate revenue.
But there's all kinds of offices out there.
Yeah, there's
rather than tearing down walls, just kind of set them up.
Exactly. That's the idea. The only walls we tear down in that $60,000 was to create a larger conference room, and place where we could do, you know, more of the education stuff that he's doing. And then also the area, as you walk in to go to the lab, we'd open that up and turn it into a large kitchen and dining, you know, eating area. As a many that we'd have, I think it was 12 or 15 offices, something like that, on top of the LCRDA offices. Mm-hmm. We would relocate the folks that are currently in the building, which is mostly Rick Meeker. Rick Meeker's group, he is expanding like crazy. He's looking at having a third office. So anyway, yes, I think that is something that we could do.
Well, that would be possible, even if, but hopefully we will get the EDA grant. and the money that was ultimately going to go to the Collins Building is now going there. So is that low-hanging fruit that could be achieved?
Yes. What it wouldn't do for us is it would not allow us to go in and demolish the other end. We wouldn't be renovating restrooms. We actually looked at the restrooms. They're not that bad.
Well, you can actually do that later on once right. you're on your feet.
Yeah, and if you recall, the $1.8 million had things like a sprinkler system, fume hoods. It had the restroom renovation, major HVAC and electrical work, the whole demolition piece, the lab. That basically what we're talking about with that $60,000 gets you is carpet, paint, ceiling tiles, and a little bit of partition work, and a couple of doors.
Would you need IT infrastructure there?
There's actually, in terms of Cat 5 wiring, the state was in there before. It's pretty well wired.
Okay.
To throw a kink into that thought process a little bit, I've asked Ron to give some consideration to the possibility of, when we design this innovation hub, and when we get the incubator, some portion of that first floor is going to be administration. I asked him to give evaluation to putting a second floor on, which wouldn't be as expensive as a new building or anything. That second floor would become our offices, leaving the Collins Building to have then fully rentable space for revenue production. We may not be able to afford that, but I think it'd be nice to have our offices co-located within that incubator, and that we'd just be able to say, instead of a roof on the first floor, we put a roof on the second floor. Now, it's expensive to put a second floor on, I don't think it's the first floor, but you still only have one roof, and you can jump from there a little bit. But it'd be nice to have, I think, our administrative offices on the second floor of what we would say, in my opinion, would be our strategic focus building in this part.
Would you be thinking of a full second floor or just a part of them?
Just a part of it, just above the administrative area of that. The lab area, I wouldn't want to put a second floor above it. Noise, you got exhaust fans, you got all those other things. But over somewhere, perhaps where we would have first floor administrative, we'd build a second floor above it and have administration there. Then we can totally, at some point, rent out all of the Collins Building and have that as a revenue production.
And this would investment of $60,000 would not prevent us from doing that, because yeah. what we're talking about with carpet, paint, ceiling tile is something you'd have to do if you were to lease the rest of that space anyway.
Yeah.
So this is kind of off topic, but doing that, are we still looking at with the 17,040,000 gross square feet?
Yes. And that would be a challenge if we were to add additional administrative space. It does change the math a little bit, and I'm not sure we can fund it. We could fund our office space with that grant, the grant funding, basically.
One of the things that, I feel like we need to be looking at long term is this park was built in an era, and it shows. When you drive in, you can guess when this park was built. It doesn't feel like, the happening cool place that they're at, High Mag Lab, Danforth Turbocore, other buildings have that feel. I think that we should be thinking long term. How are we going to, what's that next hill we got to take? And it's got to be upgrading the look and feel of some of these older buildings. Whether it's, I don't know what kind of renovation would be required, whether you just get rid of this whole building and build something cooler. But making a major investment in the future of the park. That's
part of that. In terms of the IRCB building and designing and so forth, it turns out that the current requirements, for example, setbacks, gets in the way of a lot of what you can do. And so whether or not they've done it yet, they're going to be coming to LCRDA to look for variances and things like that. So. That difference between a large setback versus a small one gets also to the kind of feel that you have on the campus. Yep. And so forth.
And that's I'm sure you were going to jump on this, but that's part
of... No, I was going to say something else, but go ahead, yeah.
But that's part of what we're looking at with the PUD and the CNR, is to, first of all, get them aligned, because they say two different things.
Mm-hmm.
But also to look at clarifying, because we did put some language in the last revision that permitted cluster development that would take care of some of the setback issues, but it's still not very clear what it means. So we were going to work to clarify that language and get it revised.
And we do have the variance process now.
Yes.
So we can be responsive to that, but it's a good point. It's funny to me, April, that you mentioned the facade and the look and the dated nature of the park. Right after Dave, you mentioned the new office and the second floor. In thinking about new office space, I would say that if we had an opportunity to put a second floor white box on top of the incubator building, and there may be some other challenges with EDA about what portions they fund, because you have to use it for the set use or the use that you have applied for the money, I'd say that's the new shiny, most leasable space out here. Why would we go in there? We could market that better than Collins Building. So I all love to our staff. I'd rather us be in the older portion, updated and remodeled, than the brand new building. But the facade improvement, if we could build something like that in, or get street art to do a mural on the side of Johnson's building or in the atrium, or some other public art things like that, along with setbacks and trails, that really, it can start to change the feeling of some of the buildings. You look at some of the strip or little shopping centers on South Monroe right now, facade improvement makes it look brand new and modern. So I really like that idea, April, of kind of bumping up, if that's where you're going, just look.
If we're trying to be something, we're trying to have a bigger vision, and yet when you look at Sliger and you look at some of the others, it's like 1972?
Yeah.
Is that?
82. Yeah. But yeah, in between that, yeah.
What about, are you done? I'm sorry.
I am, but April, you just,
go ahead.
If we change the setbacks, does the property in front of Sliger become potential for a small footprint? I don't think so, but
it's
that's just...
the impervious is the problem.
It's the impervious, that's what it is. Thanks, sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
What about this building? You know, we talked, you heard Ed this morning sort of shoot down the food idea. Do we accept that? Do we explore a little more on our own? Because, frankly, if the food option or some other amenity in this building is not helpful or feasible, then why were you even worrying about moving to Collins Building?
I, for one, suspect that Ed knows what he's talking about.
You suspect he does know?
Yes, I do. I mean, he could be wrong, too. Who knows what could be made to work, but now that people are accustomed to the idea of food trucks, there are also coffee trucks, breakfast trucks. I think we need all the flexibility we can get, and the amount of money it would take to make this into a restaurant, and then to be able to have somebody operate it and make money off of it, I suspect would be prohibitive. So
we also have food delivery now.
Yeah, and I would probably be ready to take that off the table.
If I'm going to get in my car, I'm probably not going to drive over here.
Mm-hmm. Well, we would hope people wouldn't get.
Right.
I know.
Yes.
A lot of people are going to get in their car if they're on the other side of campus.
You're probably right about that.
They're going to go off campus.
Yeah.
So. Well, he made a good point that I hadn't thought of, is how Bradford, is it Bradfordville?
Mm-hmm.
Is going to become more of a restaurant facility.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen on Gaines.
Yeah.
And so, do they have a restaurant plan for the golf course? That's going to be a nice, that would be a nice place to go eat lunch, and it solves your restaurant problem.
They also have a bar, too.
And there you go.
Now, if you make this a micro brew.
Actually, I love her.
Daycare center.
No, I'm wondering.
Right next to the brewery.
Put the playground right out there by the house.
What about even like a small section of this, like dividing this and having a co-working space on one part and having like a small coffee shop? Because a lot of research parks do at least have little cafes. I mean, that could be something that is utilized. And there's so many people walking around and stuff. If people want to get out of their office for the day, they could come down here, have a cup of coffee, work for a couple hours, and then go back to their office.
I like the idea of it being right here on the trail.
Yeah.
I thought that was a real advantage if we wanted to put one in.
Delivery.
I think.
But I also felt like we would have to spend a good bit of our money, I think, to get this building ready. I don't know if Rustin Tour would come in here on a lease and put that kind of money onto a lease to get it ready. But I like the idea of having one, but I don't know if it's feasible.
I think there's something in the middle here where I agree with Lake Bradford. I agree with the cost of a restaurant, and it's a risky business as well, and the golf course changes the dynamics, all that. But I still think there is an investment here for the campus feel and for recruitment and other things. This may be cost prohibitive. We'd have to look at like gutting it. But I would guess the cost for having a coffee shop, like the sinks and things like that that you need for a coffee shop, would be lower. And I wonder if we could explore an option for any startups or other businesses. Everybody at the Kitchen Share down in Frenchtown, if they're starting a business and they're doing baked goods, could we support the entrepreneurs or refire Rebecca, who's got a training program for people who are coming out of prison, and she teaches them how to cook again. There may be ways to have some food in here, Madison Social, for the table. It's a local entrepreneurial, I mean, it's business, but not have the costs invested in the building any more than just like a coffee shop type area, just the bar and stuff. And then it's a co-working or open working space. And I agree. I mean, I think it's a gamble, but I think people would come over here for a time to get out of the offices.
More of a red eye?
I think more of a red eye. I think it gives you a media space. It gives you other things like that. The trail is big. Maybe we do need to do another survey. The survey, and I pulled out the document, was years ago, but it was a big demand, and we have all the same stuff out here as we did then. So
I think if we did something, we would need to do a survey, but we need to be careful what type of survey we do.
Sure.
Because people will say they will support something because it sounds cool, and then you invest all this money and never get the support.
I think.
What is the Danfoss? What do you guys do? Do you bring lunch into people?
We typically, in this new building we're going to expand, we considered having a full-time cafeteria in there, but our data said we can't support it. The people wouldn't support it. And then a lot of the Danfoss facilities, they do, subsidize the lunch. So we'll have a private company come in, we'll provide the space, and then we'll guarantee them so much money based on the employees. Mm-hmm. But for Tallahassee, we never could get the numbers to work out. Employees bring their own lunch and they want to eat a different variety every day. So having the same access, they weren't interested.
And you finally hit on my expertise, which is in the food service side. And we used to provide those services just like what you're describing.
Yeah.
And the numbers typically, in order to get the thing to cash flow, you were over 2,500 people in a single location.
Yeah.
Here we have, you know, we're going to be, if you include College of Engineering, you know, which is generous because who knows if they'd even come this far. But, you know, basically we're going to, with your extra employment, we're going to be around 2,000 in the park.
Yeah.
So typically in those environments, we would go in and the subsidy would, and this is probably 15 years ago, was probably in the $30,000 a year range, $30,000 to $50,000 depending on what level of food and service they wanted.
Yeah.
But so it's not cheap.
Yeah.
But I was going to suggest that I think we all have some great ideas, and I expressed the same concerns about surveys as what you say. Not only not only will they tell you they want something and not support it, but if you ask and you don't and you don't do what they say, they get mad at you too.
Yeah.
So
create an expectation.
Yes. Yeah. So what I would recommend that we do is that we do go out and put an RFI out. Mm-hmm. And see, you know, we can define some basic parameters that say, here's a building that we have, here's the employment levels in the park. Give us some ideas on what you think might work here. And let the private sector figure out, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that are going to have to do it. Let them come in and see what they think they can do with this.
Mm-hmm. Does anyone know the success or lack of success that the food service at the golf course had? Was it highly utilized? Did it succeed with their expectations? Did it fall off and go to something less active than they thought it would be?
They were losing money.
They were losing money?
Then they changed management of the thing as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had to scale back their offerings and everything just to be able to stay viable.
And your food trucks, how many meals a day are they serving?
So on Mondays, there's two different food trucks. There's one in the morning and then one at lunchtime. And then the rest of the week, there's one at lunchtime.
And they're serving?
They're serving anywhere between
35 and 40 is what they have.
But let me tell you this. The price points in the food trucks, this is not cheap food.
Food trucks are not cheap.
Yeah, so.
And it's one option, so I'm not surprised by that.
I think the key is finding somebody who can structure their business around what this thing has to offer. And if they can decide on the offerings and the price points, and maybe it is only part of the building, the other part of the building they decide they're going to put something else in.
Well, that would be the caveat on the RFI that I would think we need to have, or the discussion we need to have before putting that out. I love letting the private sector get creative, but how do you describe it in a narrative that you can program? I mean, are we asking them it's all or nothing? It's the entire building or nothing? Or you can program half the building and we could do co-working in half the building. Are we going to put money into white boxing at first, clearing out the walls so somebody else rebuilds? And to your point earlier about the dated nature of the buildings, if not this, then what? I mean, y'all are going to grow out. I mean, this isn't the best office for us to put a face on Innovation Park. It's not the best office for the four of you to work. Mm-hmm. So if not this, we're still going to have to put money into the building in some way. So I'm just kind of, that's why I'm struggling with how to, and we can distill that later, yeah. But I think there's more budget conversation to have.
Just to make it more of a mess, when I was listening to all this before, the model that always comes to me is all the downtown office buildings used to have the Bureau of Blind Services.
Right.
Remember that? You mm-hmm. could go into any of those big buildings and you could get lunch and it was good. Mm-hmm. But that was obviously subsidized. That served a purpose. What you were saying, Kristen, if we could come up with something that was at least marginally related to the service, the bigger mission of what we're doing here, and make it be coffee, bread products, etc., some kind of sandwiches for lunch. I could really see that, but it would have to be, you know, partially a social service mission, I think.
Right. Or have revenue income from other, like, co-working space. Yeah. But Four to the Table is delivering food to some of the coffee shops now. For the Table, Madison Socialist Group. So there are other groups now that are getting into that space where they provide the food. You don't need a kitchen, anything like that. It just seems like the cost. I don't know if Stephanie could help us run numbers.
Well, the little place at the airport.
Based on Red Eye. Oh, yeah, sorry.
The little place at the airport, that is a local thing. That thing called Tuscan Sun, I was talking to them the last time I went through. They do almost all their baking off-site. They have a few things they assemble and heat, kind of like a Starbucks. They have figured out how to make that little thing in the airport work. If you had something that small,
I think it's let's, it, with the nice thing about an RFI, it's not an RFP, okay?
Yeah.
It says, here's some basic parameters that we're working with in terms of the space, the building, and here are a few things that we think we would like to see. come in and tell us what you can do and how you would do it and how, you know, what kind of funding would be required. And we wouldn't have to go and you know, figure out, because the private sector folks, they know what their models are and what works and what doesn't work.
And just make sure we got it out there broadly.
Yes, exactly.
There's no risk there.
Yeah. Right. It's not costly to do, and it's not risky.
But
the only thing that I would add is that we may want to do some sort of study on the building just to understand structurally what's possible, because then if somebody comes in and says, yeah, I want to knock all these walls out and do all this stuff, we know what's possible.
I think that is essential, because the first question they're going to ask is, what am I working with?
Yep.
And are we going to ask them to pay for a building assessment? Probably not. But what's it going to cost? Are they going to have an opportunity to say, we could make this work, but we're going to need Innovation Park to kick in X amount for the building? So long as that's a provision in there, I just think we have to have some... There's knowledge that we're going to have to put some money in.
Well, no, I don't think you acknowledge it up front. You ask them, what do you,
okay.
Right. You don't tell them, oh, we're willing to put money in. Just...
Well, then we move this forward. Yep. Is it an appropriate goal to say that we would ask that the staff RFI be developed and published within 90 days? That could enable us, therefore, to then convene and decide whether there is an opportunity here or not.
Yes. I don't know about 90 days.
I think we need to set some timeline on
it. Yeah, let's do 6 months, because if I got to do a study, if we got to have a study done of the building first, that's going to take a little while to do.
Okay, then by June the 30th, we would have published an RFI.
Yep.
And distributed that to potential vendors that would run from the gamut of a red eye all the way up to a broken egg, and let people decide whether this is feasible or not.
I don't want to define the specific examples. Yeah. I just want to say we want maybe food and beverage and here's how many people we got, and maybe some amenities, and
that's fine.
And we can narrow it down, but I don't think you want to get too definitive, because what will happen is you'll get folks like Ed who said, well, you can't do a broken egg out here, you know. Well, we don't need a broken egg.
Mm-hmm. That'd be the high end.
That would, yeah, but again, that may not be feasible. And if we say that's what we're looking for, they won't respond.
Yeah.
So what we want to do is make it as broad and flexible as possible. Let them come with some creative ideas. You know, we don't have to think of everything. Let them do it.
Sure.
If you make it inviting enough. So
that was my offer.
Okay.
As a goal.
Okay.
Relative to the food truck idea, is the 35 to 40, is that really the top end, or would there be better response to that if there's more variety, 2-3 food trucks, and some competition to get the price down?
If you get too many out here, there may not be enough business for anyone.
Well, I mean,
that's,
in terms of variety, different types of, I have no idea.
That's the challenge we have when you see Green Peggy, is that they come and go. There's a steady rotation, because people come out and they figure, I'm not getting enough numbers, I leave. Well, one thing we have explored is we brought a Lucky Goat came out in the morning, like 10 o'clock or something,
Unfortunately,
there's a solution right there.
Yeah, they wouldn't come out every day. We don't understand why they would do that every day. But anyway, so we can explore like other day parts to try to get something out. We had what was the? Didn't we have a dessert or ice cream or yogurt or something?
They were chatting with us and were interested.
Anyway, so we've looked at some different options with the food trucks, but honestly, I think because of their business models, they can't really get their price down any lower to you know, it's the whole economic curve, right?
Well, I had two of our clients that are food truck vendors that operate here in the park, and they expressed to me that it was a struggle to actually make money the days that they were out here. I mean, they were at best breaking even, but because they'd already invested in the food and the labor, they figured they might as well get out as opposed to having to throw the food away. But they're finding it is a lot better for them to focus on events.
Yes, I think that's what they're all finding out.
Right.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, rotating on a, out here at least, at Innovation Park. Yeah.
So, I guess one question is, what is our goal for the food option?
Well, one goal is to determine if there's any interest.
I mean, what's the end result we're looking for if we had food out here? Why do we think we need to have food out here?
Happier tenants.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
Tenant amenities.
The campus atmosphere.
More groovy.
Okay.
More
so
groovy.
This. Okay.
Yeah. We want
I mean,
more.
It is.
Write that down. More groovy.
It's a soft goal. It's
yeah.
All about making this whatever more of a place or whatever you said.
So does that require a full service restaurant?
No.
It requires snow cones on Friday or, you know, some kind of easy to expensive item.
Yeah, I think we got enough to work with on putting an RFI together. I think we get the idea of what the goal is.
Just last thing that with the RFI, a bullet sheet or something of current conditions, future development opportunities to give people an idea of the numbers might be good. But Keith, you just brought this to mind that there's one food truck, I think the Mac Shack, that's partnering with other businesses. So they're set up outside Ology
mm-hmm.
all the time. Ology
yeah.
doesn't do food,
right.
but the food truck part.
Right.
If this was a co-working coffee space, doing food truck parking spots outside could increase the revenue for them, right? So just, there may be some other ideas like that
yep.
that
yep.
someone
they are
could explore.
Here. They're here on Friday. They're our Friday lunch truck.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I know, but just in general, that
yeah.
if you have a cluster,
if you're located
it's
here,
more it's
yeah.
more business for the food truck.
Yeah,
so
people.
Yeah.
They do both.
I think the other thing we need to look at is that if you ask the tenants, what are they going outside of the park
yeah.
to do?
Yeah.
If you think about what I do, I probably spend $30,000 to $50,000 a year renting conference rooms at the local hotels because we don't have enough space over at our facility. We're constantly bringing in groups of 30, 40 people.
Really?
Yeah. We're spending a lot of money on conference rooms. Yes.
Well, that's an important thing to know.
Or we need to build a conference center.
Yeah. So I don't know how many other people.
When you say conference room, how big is your conference room?
Sometimes we want to hold 50 people. Sometimes we want to hold 3 people. I mean, we go outside for 5 people because we just don't have enough conference room.
And you can't use the universities can't give you anything.
Just the timing, you know. You
yep.
call them and they
yep.
say we got to have it tied up today.
That's why we're in this room today. Cause
yeah.
We're
well, I knew
we're
that.
Danfoss has come and used the space a
yeah.
couple times.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's small enough group, so we've done that a few
yeah,
times.
Yeah, like a space like this is a hotel for a day with coffee and everything costs $1,000, right?
I know,
right?
Yeah.
So,
and our intent is, with the incubator, is we would do the same thing as the revenue source,
yeah.
is, and we, the bigger conference rooms could be, or any of the conference rooms
yeah.
could be leased out.
But I mean, even letting us know what you already have,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, we could be paying you for this right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Okay.
Paul, if we had some sort of food here, coffee shop, let's
yeah.
just say from there up,
yeah.
would that satisfy Dan Foss's interest in, they would no longer have an interest in doing something themselves?
Oh, we're not going to have any interest in doing anything ourselves anyway.
That's out.
Yeah,
that's
already
out.
Figured
that's
out.
My next question is, I wonder how much competition we would expect to have still from Maglab, which has kind of a, quote, coffee shop, pastry shop.
You know, I think the Maglab has looked at wanting to expand their food options on their own.
Yeah.
And we've told them the times of what we were planning, they're like, oh, that'd be great. They say it, I haven't seen anything happening. But matter of fact, I think at one time they talked about making a pavilion or something for food trucks in the back.
They have demand for it. And
they have enough people there.
And they have, yeah, I mean, that's why I always thought it could work, because the anchor, for Maglab folks, that's the demand that we were.
The challenge with the Maglab is accessibility. And the most people that don't work in the Maglab or have some affiliation with it aren't going to go in the Maglab
right.
to go eat at that little coffee shop.
Right.
And whereas this place has all of that exposure, and we'll have the trail exposure and shortcuts, and you know, I think it's going to have that visibility that would make it more.
Yeah. Is there any reason to believe that vendor over there might have more interest in moving to here?
Well, that is that's actually within FSU's food facilities. That's Aramark. So
that's not Aramark anymore.
It's Sodexo. Yeah.
Who is it now?
Sodexo.
Sodexo?
That would be my concern about doing something bigger here, is that we need the Mag Lab folks to want to use this facility. Versus their, I mean, expanding, and it's kind of, it goes back to the extended stay.
One thing to note, I actually have some statistics that I went through, of like 62 research parks that I looked at, only 13 actually have foods and restaurants on site. So it's not a very common amenity compared to other things.
What if Sodexo would be willing to make a move of that property to this property? That's one that you could send a survey to, or if I do.
I think a lot of that would probably also depend on FSU, I mean, that would be.
They'd be looking for a subsidy.
Yeah.
That's their model too.
Yeah.
That was one of our competitors, but. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm feeling impatient.
Go ahead.
I think we need to put the food thing.
I agree.
Get on top of the road.
I was trying to get there.
Yeah. I know.
We've got one up there, so what's next? Building.
It's clearly a hot button item.
Clearly.
What's next?
Everybody likes that.
I was fascinated to hear how much you spent on conference rooms.
Yes.
So I noted your comment about mixed use in the presentation. It feels like when we talked about mixed use in the past, it wasn't like mixed use that you would find downtown, or not our downtown, but someplace else. Mm-hmm. It was the conference room, coffee, co-work, it was that kind of thing. So this is going back several years. We thought about part of the 11 acres having a facility that could be rented for event space or conference room space. If that's a source of income waiting to happen out here, then
I know that size meeting space is the hardest to find in Tallahassee. Yeah. If you have over 30 people, there's like three or four places you can meet.
So if we had a really nice space that was marketable, Collins here, other places, that people could drive out here.
I get calls a lot. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but we probably, in the very beginning when I worked here, I was probably getting calls, like, one or two calls every 2 to 3 months, seeing if they could fit people out here, if we had event space to rent out and different things like that. It hasn't been as common now, but there is still a desire for it.
I think that's something for me on the list, is other revenue sources that double for an event space for us. Because we don't hold that many events, but if we could lease it to others, or modular space or something. Yeah.
If we took this building and put a portion of it into coffee service, I'll call it, another portion of it into conference room, is the parking going to be sufficient? Restrooms going to be sufficient? Are all those things going to have to be added to it? But, boy, if we're talking, if we could get 80% of his $40,000 a year, that would certainly be nice. I suspect if we could get it from Danfoss, we could find FSU might have some interest in it, and others as well. Not even residents of the park. But certainly it's got a beautiful setting here, so we could maybe market this as just a conference site.
Okay, we got that on the list. What else we got? Did we talk any about events? Did we put that up there? Because one of the things that has come up a lot in the past has been, we need more events at the park. We need to increase our exposure in the community.
We talked
talked a little bit about that. I don't think
that ties into all that.
The destination. Did we get that on the list?
Is that on the list?
Because that's what Rick mentioned.
Okay.
I'd love to see a springtime hot air balloon thing, even if it's just tethered, but you can't release it because of close proximity to the airport, but 4 or 5.
That is $800 for 2 hours.
For 20 people. But
total.
Do we pay for that, or do we then say, come out and bring your children, and you'll have to pay for it?
Well, we could say that. That'd be taking a risk.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Events. What's our purpose? What's
draw the people to the campus.
Why?
Why?
For familiarization of who we are and where we are. We don't have 10% of people in this community, I believe, that are familiar with our park.
And if they were, what would that do for us?
So can I?
Gives more credibility.
Because you want to draw the right type of people, right?
Yes.
So, talking about what you guys were talking about, the conference in Orlando, that's the kind of event I would like to see out here, and how you draw people out that are going to occupy the park. I think it's important that we expose, you know, the local community to what we do, but I think it's more important to get the tenant people that are coming in. How do we spread the word? How do they have an experience? You know, seeing is worth a thousand words, we know that. So I always say, it's like, so you got to figure out who that target audience is and how do we engage them to come out here. Is that something that the universities are offering in conjunction with the park?
So what is that conference center, what's the status? Kristen, you probably know this.
The convention center?
The convention center and all of that.
That too. I can pull up the specific dates, but this is, I'm pretty sure I said earlier, the movements that happened with Blueprint OED this summer were substantial, and the bonding piece of it on both Blueprint side and OED side was more than what we had thought in the past. And part of that was the convention center. So $20 million of Blueprint OED money was set for that, and we agreed to bond as needed post-2020, which should be the first few years. FSU needed that because they're already in conversations with the hotelier that wants to be the anchor for that convention center and couldn't start programming it until they knew if convention was going to happen.
Right.
So that has happened. There's a market study going on, partnership between OEV and FSU. That's going to dictate some of that. But we're as close to a convention center as we've ever come, and that's not tongue in cheek because we actually have money dedicated, we have the vote, and the market study is going on.
So
but
potentially,
to say when, 5-6 years maybe, at the minimum,
right.
Could be
longer. And where is it, what's the site?
In my
the parking lot of the Civic Center. So convention center will be attached to Dedman School of Hospitality. They'll have meeting space at both Turnbull Center and Civic Center. That is how we break the magnet conference up here. And that's the dominance right there.
So conceivably, that's going to be where you might have a...
Yeah, we would not host that Orlando conference here.
Convention center. And then you could create the opportunity for cool events that could be held at Danfoss, at Hi-Mag Lab, out here in a cool area to bring people out who are prospective tenants.
Yeah.
Turnbull Center is 100-plus people, I would think. They would accommodate 100-plus people.
But it's not an easy facility to rent for 30 people.
I'm saying 100 up.
Because
100 up.
The costs involved and the logistics, and it's just not for that size group. It's not for that size meeting.
And actually, this is a critical piece on the convention center versus other FSU facilities. That it makes sense that FSU has first right to Ruby Diamond, to Turnbull Center, to other places. Convention, because there's $20 million in public dollars, it's all public dollars, but in sales tax dollars going in, that's part of the agreement they're working on to see how it will be programmed out in the future. Coming back to your question about what type of events and what you were saying, the goal of that, I agree that being ready to host people and that collaborative plan that Rebecca and Christina mentioned is critical. I mean, if we had a meeting space, something like that, they were doing recruitments, I mean, we need to be flexible for that. But I do think, and this is odd because I just heard this, I think it was about Pittsburgh, are they the ones getting into blockchain as a sector? Mm-hmm. There was a story about how they needed their local community to own that was their cluster, so that they could support the public investment. I think that is something that we need to consider here, that it's not doing necessarily a marathon or other things like that out here, I still love the lab crawl, but going to the Rotary Club, going to NEBA as we did, things like that help support the 12 of us who for right now are making decisions on funding, for example. or the state or other things like that. I think there is a tie for telling our story and getting more meetings to happen out here where people keep Innovation Park on their mind,
yeah.
And then they see when OED commits $1.5-2 million,
mm-hmm.
they don't balk at that. So
mm-hmm.
it may not be the big events, but the small events or
mm-hmm.
us going out, that's what I would say the goal for me would be.
Now, if the convention center is going in the parking lot of the Civic Center, are there provisions for alternate parking? Because you're going to be drawing more people and you're taking part of the footprint away.
Yes, Kevin Graham could provide us a better update on that because they're master planning it. They've done one pass now. There's a big parking garage. Business school will go in on Gain Street.
So planned parking garage.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's a parking garage planned in the middle. They have to work out parking on basketball games and concerts and convention. It's going to be interesting. Yeah.
Do we want to take a break and come back, or
everybody ready for a break, or do you want to?
The next thing I want to do is I want to. Now that we've got this kind of laundry list up here, is let's come up with, even if we don't have the nuance of the goal, let's come up with three to four themes that you see coming out of all the things we've talked about, and we can build the goals around that.
Okay. Everybody happy for a break? All right, it is 10 after. Let's be back in here 20 after.
Okay. We're in recess. We need to, you know, our mission statement? Hold on a second.